Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Bob Dio on the other side of the glass. Bob, spinning the... No, he's not spinning the records. He's making sure all the buttons are pushed in the right direction. Bob is my engineer and producer, does such a great job. Record snowfall in places like Kingman, Arizona. Some of these pictures I've been seeing on my Facebook, some of the posts, some of my friends up in Las Vegas, man, they got hammered too. So there's big snow. Flagstaff, lots of snow. We may see a couple of flurries over the next 24 hours here in the city of Tucson, but who knows when it all depends on where you are and your elevation, how places like Benson are going to get a lot of snow, probably, and Oracle. It is the Buckmaster Show, and it is Thursday, the 21st of February, 2019. You're listening to 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our podcast's available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Any questions or concerns about education in the Tucson Unified School District, now would be a good time to get on the live line, because the president of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board, and there are five members. Dr. Mark Stegman is with us. Dr. Stegman, how are you?
Fine, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Now, you will be the president of this five-member board. That's not a yearly deal. It's going to be a six-month term.
Yes, that's what I wanted. I wanted to share it. I mean, actually, I didn't want to do it at all, but I thought that we should split the presidency to reduce the perception that one side is in control.
Uh-huh. And there has been this historic back and forth between kind of the two factions on the board. How has Layla Counts, the newest member of the TUSD governing board, how has she helped in perhaps giving some balance to this, what has been a very troubled board?
Well, there are two parts to that. Part of it is the sometimes circus-like atmosphere of board meetings, the craziness at the meetings, and she has helped that tremendously. She brings a very professional demeanor to the board, asks pertinent questions, isn't excessively long-winded. I think she has helped the appearance and operation very much. The other half of it is policy, and so which side does she fall on? And I think it's a little early to tell. She's gone different ways on different votes so far.
Well, let's face it. It's been a three-ring circus in at times on the board, so her presence has kind of made it, I don't want to say just a one ring circus, but it's a more professional atmosphere.
That was noticeable immediately. Uh-huh. And I think that's important. That's not going to fix the district, but that is an important step toward making the board more effective.
You wonder how the district is doing financially with the loss of enrollment. And I know one of the things that you'll be looking at very closely, there is a board meeting that's coming up. It's Tuesday night, correct?
Right.
And all of your meetings are open to the public. Folks may say, well, how can I get involved? They're at 10:10, right?
We moved the board meetings. Most of our meetings now are at the old Duffy Elementary, which is at the corner of 5th Street and Rosemont.
Mm-hmm. And everyone's invited.
Of course. By law.
Yes, of course. Now, the financial situation will be discussed at the upcoming meeting, and that will be concerning kind of an update on the district's audit. What is the money picture like for the TUSD situation right now?
It's mostly not good.
Precarious?
Well, I don't know exactly what word I would put on it. We ended last year with no reserves at all. No operating reserves at all. That has never happened before in my experience.
Are you saying just like a zeroed out, zero money in the checking account or what?
Well, something like that. It's a little more complicated than that, but it was the worst reserve posture we've been in since I've been on the board. And I think the board has made some not quite responsible spending decisions. And so this year we are in a tough spot. Now, mitigating that is the fact that there's probably more money coming from the state. And it looks like the legislature and governor are going to be somewhat kind to us, and that will probably help to bail us out a little bit, to be blunt. We'll be getting this Tuesday the report of our new external auditors, the first time they've reported to the board, and I'm looking forward to this. This is a national firm we have now, mm-hmm. and I think it'll be an improvement.
How long have they been looking at the money picture?
Well, they've been looking at it. This is for the last fiscal year, the fiscal year that ended 8 months ago. So they've been looking at it quite a bit. It took them a while to get up to steam. But they are a very high-quality national firm, and I think they're going to be great in the external auditing role.
Any news on the disciplinary code?
Well, Rachel Sedgwick, my most often ally on the board, has brought this forward for Tuesday's meeting. Actually, it's been postponed a couple times, but we're going to discuss it. There was a big reform of it last year, but neither she nor I feel that it accomplished everything it needed to accomplish, and I'm hoping to propose some more changes.
What are you hoping to propose? Could you give our listeners a little?
I'll give you a couple, and not really complicated changes, but in the new code, a new thing that was in there was that to remove a student from the classroom, a teacher has to wait at least 15 minutes into the period. And if a student's being very disruptive, that didn't make sense to me that the teacher has to wait 15 minutes to take the student out. And I don't think that's consistent with state statute. State statute 15841 gives teachers strong rights to remove disruptive students. And I don't frankly feel that TUSD has ever, and I've said this many times, fully honored those rights. And I'd like to do something about that this year.
If a student's acting up, so you're saying immediate removal would be in order in some cases?
Well, I think we have to trust our teachers to exercise reasonable judgment. We need to train them, and then we need to trust them. And who knows better what needs to happen to get a classroom in order than the teacher who's in there? And I think they need to have that right. If teachers act too aggressively against students, then we have processes to deal with that. But if a student just has to sit and teacher just has to sit and listen to a student swearing for 15 minutes,
wow,
that's not good. And I'd like to change that.
That could be even a safety issue in the classroom if the student's kind of going off for 15 minutes. That just doesn't seem right.
Well, the teachers do have, under current code, there's sort of a safety issue override where if the student, safety is an issue, you can take stronger action.
Mm-hmm.
But the teachers are frankly not encouraged to exercise that.
Mm.
There are a lot of implicit signals given not to over-discipline students. And
10:30, The Voice. That's where you are listening to trusted local news and talk. The name of the program, Buckmaster, named after me, Bill Buckmaster. Dr. Mark Stegeman is here. He's the president of the governing board of Tucson Unified School District, 790-2040. If you have any questions or concerned about education at all in our district being the second largest school district in the state of Arizona, that number is 790-2040. I'm going to take the break right here. Dr. Stegeman will stick around for another segment. But right now, Dr. Stegeman, it's time to talk about my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery. Do you enjoy bakery goods? Let me ask you that.
I absolutely do.
Mm-hmm. Have you tried the Danish Kringle?
I'm afraid not. I'm sort of stuck on strudel.
Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. I'll have exciting news very soon about some fun things that are going to be happening at Mona's. I actually had several people yesterday say, what's going on at Mona's? You said there's something, an announcement coming up. And I don't want to, I'm waiting for the green light from Steve to go ahead and give the okay on this, but it's going to be very exciting. Right now, they're serving lunch at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Their website, monasdanishbakery.com. And, of course, there's a link at buckmastershow.com, not only to Mona's, but all of our great sponsors. It's exactly 12:14 on the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Mark Stegeman sticks around. He'll be right back, and so will I after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
12:18 on what will be a very wet 24 hours, kind of cold, actually very cold, not necessarily tonight, but tomorrow night going down to 28. This portion of the program presented by our friends at Green Things, since serving the area with great things for your garden since 1970, Green Things, located at 3384 East River Road. The exciting news at Green Things is on their 13-acre site, they now have Zocalo, all that great merchandise, extraordinary collection of Talavera pottery, antiques, fine art. Zocalo may be familiar to you. They used to have a shop for years over at Country Club and Broadway. They're now part of the Green Things family. There's a whole Zocalo village. In fact, Saturday afternoon from 1 to 6, there's an open house at Zocalo at Green Things. So check it out. And again, here's a couple of websites for you, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Dr. Mark Stegeman is the president of the TUSD Governing Board. He's with me in studio. During the break, a caller, because during the first segment, if folks are just joining us, we talked about discipline in the classroom and this kind of 15-minute cooling off period, for want of another word, that if a student acts up and starts swearing or whatever and is really kind of going off in the classroom, it's 15 minutes before the teacher can remove the student from the classroom. What's the reaction? This was the caller wondering, wanted me to ask you, are you getting any reaction from this from parents?
I don't think most parents are aware of that. That was a change this year. I'm not sure most parents wade through the pages and pages of the disciplinary policy to find that. The kinds of reactions I get from parents are just my school, and from teachers, actually more often from teachers than parents, my school's out of control. Of course, we're not talking about all schools, but there are certain schools, and they just write these heart-wrenching letters, emails saying, you know, it's a zoo, it's people are out of control, I never thought teaching would be like this. There was one teacher who said, I used to love teaching until I came to TUSD. Mm. I won't name the school.
Mm-mm. Please don't.
No, of course not. I never do. But no. But it's a, I think
that
it's
could a morale buster.
I would never do that. I could name lots of schools that are doing very well. One of the problems at TUSD is tremendous inconsistency. That's been true the whole time I'm on the board. We have units that do extremely well, personnel that do extremely well, and we have others.
And that policy, again, is a district policy, the 15-minute removal policy, not a state policy.
Right, and it's a new policy. That was part of the reform last year. The state's law says a teacher has a right to remove a disruptive student, period. That's it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think TUSD has, as I said before the break, I don't think we've ever fully respected that policy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure TUSD would always say we follow the law, but you know, really implementing it in good faith, I don't think we're there.
Dr. Mark Stegeman, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. You're listening to the Buckmaster Show. Let's try to go through some of these very important items. Has the superintendent, Dr. Trujillo's evaluation, come up yet before the board?
Yes, we evaluate him. State law requires this every year. The year ends in June 30th. And we just completed, a bit late, the evaluation for the 17-18 year, and it was generally positive.
Mm-hmm.
Some areas, probably the most positive area of his five goals was teacher vacancies, because they have significantly reduced teacher vacancies under his watch, and probably the worst area was student enrollment, because we had a big drop.
With the enrollment issue, that piece, he has an enrollment plan. Do you have some concerns about it? Could you summarize what is the enrollment plan?
Well, the two parts about it I like the best, and we had a big presentation on this a few weeks ago, where they're going to improve the process, the enrollment process, and apparently there have been some genuine issues that there's too much red tape, paperwork to get kids enrolled. And then they're going to improve the exit survey process for families that are leaving and asking them why, what's going on. And I like those two parts, but a lot of the other parts were a bit vague, which is typical of other plans we've heard in the past. And there wasn't any acknowledgement of some of the biggest issues, like school climate. I think a lot of families leave because they feel their child isn't safe. You know, some incident happens.
Getting back to the disciplinary piece.
And that was never mentioned during the whole presentation. So I think there's these in difficult issues that tend not to be mentioned. I think the whole issue of student achievement. Now, test scores did go up in TUSD, especially in math last year, and that was a positive thing. But achievement is not where it should be. And one reason that parents take their kids to charter schools is they think they'll get a stronger, more rigorous curriculum. And in some cases, that's probably true. But so his evaluation was on the whole positive, but it wasn't 100%.
I want to talk a little bit about this policy, the do not hire list that has been, I guess, part of the district for a while, for years, right?
Oh, yeah, than 20 years, we found out.
Is this still in effect? The do not hire list.
One of the first things I asked Dr. Trujillo, I said, I've been trying to get this address for years. And when he was brought in as interim, I said, are you interested in doing something about this? And he was the first superintendent that said yes. And in fact, immediately investigated it. We found out there were about 1,400 names on that list. We never knew how many. They did an analysis of how they got there, and hundreds of people were put on that list for no very well-documented reason. And it wasn't even clear in all cases who put them on the list. But then they forever, ever are tarred with this brush. So,
well, it's like a blacklist then. Huh?
It was almost working like a blacklist.
Yeah.
And Dr. Trujillo made some administrative reforms and it took a bunch of people off the list. But what we did at our last meeting was adopt new policy, which I've been very active in helping to develop with our lawyer and with the Udall law firm, that basically gets rid of that list completely, changes our records retention rules, changes the rules for how we deal with external reference checks. I think it's a great policy reform. It's not complete yet. Right now it's in the comment period, but I think the board will in the end adopt something very good.
So right now it's just comment period.
Right. What we did is, and this has been our standard procedure for the last several years, we adopted a draft version, put it out for comment, and then it'll come back in March for, March or April, for final approval. And we'll probably make a few changes because some suggestions have come in. But the big item there is that we are going to completely eliminate that code.
How is the teacher shortage doing? Is there some light at the end of the tunnel there? At least in TUSC.
Well, it's a statewide issue.
Yeah, and we had Kathy Hoffman, the new superintendent of public instruction, on the program yesterday, talking about it's such a serious issue statewide, especially for small communities. I think she was citing some areas up in the White Mountains and places. Just it's a crisis. How is it in TUSD?
Well, it's been very bad. We've been starting every year with well over 100 vacancies. But this year, as I said, one of the superintendent's positive achievements is to get that number down. We started, I think, with 80-some, which is still a lot, but less than it was. And that's good. But we still have a very serious problem. And it's not just how many seats are empty, but is everyone whom you're hiring really up to the standard you want? You know, and there's probably cases when they have reached down a little bit to fill a vacancy and, you know, are not necessarily hiring exactly the kind of the teacher they would most prefer to hire.
A couple more minutes with Dr. Mark Stegeman on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. There was a move to restrict if a board member decides they would like more information on an issue and they want district administration to do some research on it. Is there a time limit on how many man hours or women hours, if you will, could be put into that research?
Well, there's never been any kind of limit on that. Of course, the superintendent has discretion when they answer questions, depending on the complexity of the question. But the board adopted provisionally by a 3-2 vote, I certainly was opposed, a policy that would greatly restrict our ability to get information and put a 2-hour limit on how much time it takes to fulfill any request. How the 2 hours is measured, I have no idea. But this would cripple our ability to perform effective oversight. And it's in the comment period, too. And I certainly hope that when it comes back for a final vote, it is voted down.
What was your biggest concern with that?
Well, the 2-hour, there's several restrictions on the questions board members can ask, but this 2-hour limit that, you know, if you put in a request for information, the staff says, well, this is going to take more than two hours, so we're just not going to do it. That's just, and as I say, who even measures or judges how much time it's going to take? That is really, I think, unacceptable.
Good news is TUSD has not been on the front page lately. Right.
Well, yeah, not too much.
With bad news.
I agree. The DSEG case has been in the news a couple times. But no, I think the general perception is that Dr. Trujillo has been a calming and stabilizing influence.
Yes.
And I think that is accurate. Mm-hmm. I have said before, I wish reform was happening faster. I think there have been some backward steps like this tentative policy on board member requests. But on the whole, I think he's he's done well, and I think his valuation reflected that.
All right, Dr. Mark Stegeman. Thank you, Dr. Stegeman, for being with us. We'll let you get back to your job because, well, not that the TUST board presidency isn't a job, but it's a non-paying job to your paying job over at the university where you are a professor in game theory at the Eller College. Game economics.
In the economics department.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that?
It's called? Well, it's the economics department. Well, game theory is something
game
I taught.
Game theory you taught.
Right.
But your professorship
is in economics.
Is in economics. Right. All right. I'll let you get back to the U. All right. Dr. Stegeman, thanks for coming in.
It's always a pleasure, Bill.
It's 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show, 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll take our mid-show break right here and be right back with you on Buckmaster.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and it's time for our CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor, Inc., a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. Sun Corridor, Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega-regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of $24.8 billion with 162 company locates and expansions supporting nearly 48,000 jobs. For more information, suncorridorinc.com. Joining us now on the live line, James Stover. Mr. Stover is the Medicaid president of Arizona Complete Health. Mr. Stover, how are you, sir? James, how are you?
I am well. How are you?
Hi, James. Now we've got you there on the line. Okay. Tell me a little bit about Arizona Complete Health. What is it?
Sure. So I think that's a great question because Arizona Complete Health is sort of new as a name to the community, but we certainly aren't new as a business. So it's the former HealthNet and Simpatico organizations, and we provide and administer health benefits to individuals enrolled in either Access, Medicare, or the Marketplace plan, as well as those who are duly enrolled in both Access and Medicare. We offer our Medicare products through a product known as Allwell, and we offer our Marketplace products through a product known as Ambetter. While we're a new name, we have a long history in Arizona. In fact, HealthNet actually was founded in Tucson in 1985, and Simpatico has been providing behavioral health benefits to our members since 2002. What I think is really interesting, though, is that that's really just about our organizational name and sort of what we do as an organization. What's interesting is who we are is the people who work here. So I would encourage people actually to go out and look at our website. Our website is www.azcompletehealth.com, and it's not because you're going out to look at, you know, about us or search for insurance products. It's really to tell you about some of the people in our organization. We have a video library of employees and member stories that you can look at and really get a feel for who we are. And I want to tell you about just two quick ones. One is an employee named Tina Brown, who's a community health worker who works with us, but she has an incredible story of how she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis and how she handled, or in some cases didn't handle, the news of that diagnosis and how she was able to use that to really help our members. The other one actually is my story. So I grew up in southern Arizona. I actually grew up in Ajo, Arizona, and moved to Tucson when I was 13. And my family and I have been a member of social assistance programs like Medicaid and like food stamps and those kinds of things. So I really understand the importance of programs that help individuals, and it's really what drives me and compels me to do the best I can for the members that we serve.
And so HealthNet is a name that had been around, as you say, a long time, since 1981. So when did this merger then take place, James?
Yeah, so HealthNet actually was merged with Centene back in 2016.
Okay.
But then we all came together as one big organization just actually last year, October 1st of 2018. So we had a single parent company, but the Simpatico line of business, the HealthNet line of business all came together last October, October 1 of 18, to really operate as one singular organization within Arizona.
Speaking with James Stover, and James recently became a board member of Sun Corridor Inc. How is that going? Why did you want to get on the board, James, of Sun Corridor Inc.?
You know, I think there are really three primary reasons. One is, the reason for me wanting to personally be on it, and then what I think our organization brings to it, I guess, are two different questions. The reason I wanted to be on it, as I said, I'm from Ajo originally. I live in Tucson currently. Even though our plan covers individuals in 10 counties, 350,000 individuals in 10 counties of Arizona, I really am invested in Southern Arizona. and the success of Southern Arizona. And I think that Sun Corridor specifically is providing that economic development as well as the meeting the needs of individuals coming into the Tucson area.
James Stover is with us. James Stover is with the organization Arizona Complete Health. And you know, James, so many of these health reports are so gloomy. It sounds like you're encouraged, though, about the direction of healthcare, at least here in Tucson and Southern Arizona. Am I right about that?
Oh, I am definitely encouraged about it.
And why? Why?
You know, what I've seen is that for a long time, we talk about healthcare in a context of what is wrong, right? So if we talk about things that are happening with the healthcare system, we talk about the things that are not going well. If we talk about our own health, you know, it's very seldom, you know, somebody gets up in the morning and says, oh, you know, I think my blood pressure is really good today. You know, they go and they check to see what their blood pressure or their insulin levels are and really talk about it if there's a problem with it. But I see the community really coming together. And I think the big thing in healthcare is that there's a lot of individuals and organizations that are coming together to help solve the healthcare issues that wouldn't traditionally have been recognized necessarily as a healthcare provider. So let's take our law enforcement partners, for instance. So we have a very, very close relationship both with the Pima County Sheriff, Mark Napier, and the Tucson Police Chief, Chris Magnus. And we have worked very closely with these individuals, and they have really had a vision to understand how they can partner with organizations to help individuals who are having perhaps behavioral health issues or substance use disorders, as opposed to getting them involved in the jail system and the law enforcement system. We've worked really closely with the Pima County Sheriff's Department to do training of their law enforcement officers on mental health first aid, as well as the Tucson Police Department. And we've actually partnered with them to have therapy dogs to support people who have experienced trauma and to help de-escalate crisis situations. So we have now three therapy dogs, one who's Deputy Leo and two who are still in training, rookies Luke and Leia. But they really assist with the police officers in going out and helping de-escalate situations when a member is in crisis. And it was really important that those individuals who lead those organizations had a vision for how can we really help improve the health of the community as opposed to necessarily getting them just involved in the law enforcement or the jail systems.
Speaking with James Stover on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. He's with Arizona Complete Health, individualized approaches to Arizona health care. And again, if people would like more information about what you are offering, give us again your website, James.
Yes, it's www.azcompletehealth.com.
And there should be something there to answer everybody's question. If not, I'm sure folks can phone. There'll be a number there to phone or to email, correct?
That is absolutely correct.
James, thank you very much for spending some time with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
James Stover with us on the Buckmaster Show from Arizona Complete Health. Our CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Sun Corridor, Inc. For more information about Sun Corridor, Inc., go to suncorridorinc.com. Coming up now on 1244 on the Buckmaster Show, Rita Conley is waiting in the wings in our green room and ready to come on next. Rita is a Tucson food writer who will be telling us about her new book, Arizona Chimichangas, describing and articulating kind of the origin of the chimichanga. That's Rita Conley next on Buckmaster.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Do you think termites cause the most damage to your home? Think again. It's the pack rat that is the real king when it comes to causing damage to your property. This is Brett Holland, owner of Gecko Pest Management. Gecko Pest Management can help eliminate all of your unwanted pests, from roaches to termites, scorpions, and bees. We are proud of our A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau and the Super Service Awards from Angie's List. So for all of your unwanted pests, call Gecko Pest Management at 579-1701 or online at geckopest.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Hansen, and we are excited to announce that our annual travel showcase has a new location, new presentations, and exciting new offers. Sunday, February 24th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Hilton El Conquistador, we'll have over 40 travel representatives offering a presentation and your chance to learn about where they go, who they are, and their exciting offers. I will also be presenting an unfiltered look at travel topics, so you do not want to miss the 2019 Travel Showcase from Bon Voyage.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Many claim to be the first to turn a plain burrito into a crispy chimichanga, but everyone agrees that it happened in Arizona. In her new book titled Arizona Chimichanga, Tucson-based food writer Rita Conley plunges into the disputed history of chimichangas, how the chimi got its name, and whether Chinese immigrants really invented the chimi. Rita Conley is the author of Lost Restaurants of Tucson. Book's doing very well. It's a fun read. And another fun read, her book Historic Restaurants of Tucson. Rita was the restaurant reviewer for the Tucson Weekly for 10 years. Her blog, The Well-Fed Foodie, can be found at wordpress.com and on Facebook. Hi, Rita.
Hey, how are you?
Very good. When did you decide I want to do something about chimis?
Well, it wasn't my idea. I'll be honest about that. The History Press contacted me, I think I'd say maybe September, October of 2017, and we had just put the other book to bed, Historic Restaurants to bed, and I had kind of wanted to take a break, but when they asked me, do you want to do it? I said, sure. I mean, why not?
When I think of chimis, I think of Gordo's.
Gordo's, definitely, yeah. Gordo's.
Do you like chimichangas? Well, evidently you do, because we sell over 100,000 of them every year.
100,000?
And do you know why? Well, it's because they're good. We use only the highest quality products and the price is right. Our price of $369 is reduced to $229 Monday through Thursday and Friday till 4.
There you go. That's from one of Gordo's earlier commercials. I don't know. They've been around. Gordo's went out of business around, as you say in the book, 2000. But that ad was from October of 1986. I mean, Gordo's, they just advertised over TV.
Right. And I think he was, if you think back, there were probably no other Mexican restaurants advertising on TV at the time. At least I don't remember any. Mm-hmm. And he just knew, you know, he was a businessman. He really knew what to do, how to go about it. Make himself known.
Rita Conley is with us on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We're talking about her book, Arizona Chimichanga. So who's taking credit? Are any local restaurants taking credit for inventing the chimichanga?
Well, about a half a dozen local restaurants and a couple in Phoenix, of course. And then there's a whole theory that the Chinese were the ones who invented the chimichanga. And then there's the whole idea that, you know, here you are, you're off to work, you pack a little burro, it doesn't stay. So you throw it in the fryer for a little bit, and then you always have, you know, it's your fits in a lunch bucket.
Did you try a lot of chimneys?
I did. And we not just in Tucson. We went up to Phoenix and did a day up in Phoenix. We went to Globe and did a day in Globe. Went down to Tumancockery, where they have turkey chimichangas at the Wisdom's Cafe. And it's an interesting chimney because it's not ground turkey. It's roasted turkey, and it's all shredded. And then they, you know, serve it with a really cool enchilada sauce.
In your research, did you discover that, you know, you say there's been some talk about maybe the Chinese immigrants really invented them, but did you find a restaurant that might have been doing the chimney for a long time?
Well, the one story that claims to have invented the chimney was probably in the late 40s, early 50s, is Mi Ranchito up in Avondale.
Okay.
And I don't, you know, the family lives here. The son lives here. And when I was doing research, it came up on, thank God for Google, it was Don Jose's, and it was called, and it said on there, the Moreno family, the people who first put chimneys on the menu. And so I researched it, and it was a really neat story how he was just, he lived here, his kids lived here, he lived up in Avondale with his, and had a restaurant up there, and his mom would make him burros to eat on the way home. And one night he got to the restaurant, and everything was shut down, and there was still a bunch of burros in his pack. So they threw him in the fryer, and that was it. They called it the golden fried burrito, though. They didn't call it chimichangas.
Has chimichanga spread across the country to Mexican restaurants?
Right. It has. People, though, when they have, you know, when you talk to people, they go, oh, they're not as good as they are in Tucson or in Phoenix.
You mean there's chimneys in your home state of Wisconsin?
I think there are. I think there are. I've never had one, but okay. I think there are. Well, part of that, I think, comes why they aren't as good is because the tortillas aren't as good. Mm-hmm. You know, we have beautiful tortillas down here. Right. And there's a whole section in the book about at St. Mary's. I spent the morning at St. Mary's Tortillas and Tortilleria, and they had... It was amazing how but they're huge. They're, you know, you can see through them practically. You know, they're beautiful tortillas, and they fry up very, very nice.
What about fillings for the chimneys?
And just about anything goes.
Could you put ice cream in there and do something?
Well, I don't know
like
about
a dessert.
You know, we should try that.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, because call it the Buckmaster chimney.
There we go.
It was invented on the Buckmaster show.
Yeah,
on
there
radio
we go.
On
there
1030
we go.
The Voice.
There we go. No, I've had, you know, there's seafood chimneys, and there's Hiro chimney up at La Mi Patio, there's a lot of different people put there. Just about anything in a chimney.
Where have you had a good chimney?
Well, I don't like to say everywhere. I've had good chimneys everywhere.
Yeah,
put it that way.
If you single out one,
Well, I think, I don't really like doing that necessarily, but if you were to take a road trip, you know, head on down to Tumancockery, Wisdom's got an interesting chimney down there.
Do you have any recipes in the book?
I do, and they're from the restaurants. Most of them are from the various restaurants. There's an El Charro recipe. There's a Gordo's recipe in there for ground beef chimneys. There's a seafood recipe from Vincent and Camelback.
Wow, look at all this. I mean, looking at your list here. Of all the places that are really doing chimneys, look at this in Phoenix, my goodness.
Yeah.
Casa Grande, Flags,
everywhere.
Sedona, Sholo, Yuma.
Yuma
has a couple of, even Bullhead City.
So
Kingman, where they're snowed in today. place called Oysters.
Yeah, I didn't get there, but it's an interesting. Yeah, and you know, and again, even in southern Arizona, I think the chimneys are different than what you get up north because of the size of the tortillas.
Mm-hmm. So, and these recipes vary. I'm sure there's all sorts of different ways to prepare them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tried to get. I got a beef rest one. I got a pork. I got a chicken. I did my own calabacitas that I used to bake many years ago. Fill it with in a chimney, and you know you can put fruit in a chimney. There's you know.
Are the books Lost Restaurants of Tucson and Historic Restaurants of Tucson still around and available?
They are. I was at Antigone the other day, and they had some at Antigone, and they have a whole stack of them at Mostly Books.
Mm-hmm.
I have them. If anybody wants to message me on Facebook, they're available on Amazon. They're available at Barnes & Noble.
What are you doing for the book festival?
Well, nothing with this book, sadly, because the way the timing came out.
Sure.
I will be moderating a panel. Yeah. Unrelated to food, but I wish, you know, but it just the timing wasn't right for the book.
What do you mean unrelated to food? Is it more about writing? Or?
Yeah, it's called The Bonds of Sisterhood, and it's and very interesting. The books are very interesting that I've had to read.
Mm-hmm.
They're all kind of real intense political books, actually, mm-hmm. if you think about it.
Mm-hmm. How is your Well-Fed Foodie blog doing?
It's doing well. I'm
and
the
how
one
many,
who probably
how
has,
often do you... put something up about a restaurant that you've visited.
Not as often as I should.
Uh-huh.
You know, I like to do it. I would like to do it once a week, but I mm-hmm. don't get around to it that much. I've kind of slacked off a little bit in the last couple months.
Mm-hmm. Did you always want to be a writer?
I think I did.
Come from?
You know, I really don't know.
Well, you grew up in Madison or where?
Racine.
Oh, in Racine, right and across the border. I grew up in Chicago.
That's right. So we know all the same ponds.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, I remember in fourth grade I wrote a poem, and my teacher, I went to Catholic school, and it was called Our Lady's Bus, and I illustrated it and everything. And my teacher said, oh, you know, you should really be a writer when you grow up. And I think that's kind of where it started. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wish I could find my sister, the nun that taught me. But, I mean, that was kind of the inspiration, you know. It was just, when I started writing about food, then it was really lots of fun.
Now, getting back to the chimney and the origin, have you found any historic references to the Chinese immigrants who came to the West and were working on the railroad? Did you find any, or was this all kind of hearsay that maybe they invented
I think it's
chimney?
Hearsay.
Okay.
And the how it came about was years ago, the paper had 100 items that describe that are Tucson.
Yeah.
And of course, the chimney was there. And one of the readers wrote and said, hey, you know, that El Charro story may not necessarily be because his theory was he had been in Mexico and had a chimney down in Mexico, Chivichanga, and at a little bus station down in Mexico. And his theory was that the Chinese had done it. The Chinese women would make
mm-hmm. Egg rolls or something.
Yeah. And the thing is, with Chinese women, there weren't that many Chinese women in Tucson at all, really.
Uh-huh,
it was
uh-huh.
mostly men. And when the women came, they were already married. So I think it was the Mexican women who made it for the Chinese men. But that's my theory for whatever the heck that's worth. I have no idea. I mean,
What's the origin of the word chimichanga?
There's a whole bunch of arguments about that. Some of when Monica Flynn dropped the chimmy in the oil, and instead of saying a cuss word, she said chimichanga, which means thingamajig. There's a whole idea of it meaning something about monkeys and goats.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a big, big discussion as to how the name came about.
Wow, so lots of questions still. The debate continues over the origin of the chimichanga. And Arizona Chimichangas is the name of the book. The author is Rita Conley. Rita, where can people acquire the book?
Well, they can go to Mostly Books. They can go to Antigone. They can contact me via the my Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon has them, and I know that I'll be doing a book signing in 2 book signings at the Barnes & Noble's in March. So I'm assuming Barnes & Noble has the book as well.
Barnes & Noble here in Tucson?
Right.
Okay. So you've been busy.
I have been.
What's the next food book?
Oh, I don't know.
Has anybody approached you
about it? Not yet. I'm trying to think of good idea. So if anybody has any good ideas, let me know. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Rita Conley, always a pleasure. Thank you, Rita.
Thank you, Bill.
And the name of the book again, Arizona Chimichangas, and the publisher we didn't mention.
History Press.
Have they been good to you?
They've been wonderful to me.
Well, that's good. They're good to you. We like them.
Yes.
Thank you, Rita.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster, Bob Dio, my engineer, producer, Bob. I think he enjoyed the hour. I think Bob enjoys what we do very much here and enjoys listening to the Buckmaster Show. And that's going to do it today. We'll be back tomorrow. The Friday Focus interview, the mayor will be with us, Jonathan Rothschild. Have a great afternoon and evening.